Political Watch with Graham Richardson.
Good morning, Richo. How are you, mate?
I am jumping out of my skin, mate. Very well.
That's good, mate. The week started with Barnaby Joyce. And he was in the Gong, in Wollongong, at an anti-wind farm rally. And unfortunately, I don't know, Barnaby often shoots his mouth off without thinking. He was talking about, you have a bullet, and the bullet you have is a little piece of paper, he said to the crowd of locals. Of course, they were opposed to the government's wind farm for that region, he said. And it goes in the magazine called The Voting Box. It's coming up. Get ready to load that magazine. My goodness, he came out and he apologised. But the Prime Minister said the comments was completely unacceptable and likened it to inciting violence. I don't know whether we needed to take it that far, but gee, when is Barnaby going to learn, Richo? This is not the first time. I remember, time goes quickly, but wasn't it a couple of months ago where Barnaby was rolling around on the footpath outside a pub in Manuka in Canberra because he mixed alcohol and medication or something?
Yeah, that's what he claimed. Look, all I know is that Barnaby does have the odd tipple. It would have to be said. He also has the odd occasion where the mouth runs off and it's unchecked, and it gets him into strife. He's had this tendency all his political life. He's a great retail politician, no doubt about that, a great one. But he just has that little unfortunate thing of letting his mouth go off too often.
Gee, the people in his electorate love him, though, don't they?
They do. I mean, it doesn't matter what he does in that electorate, they love him. And even when he had a daughter running around campaigning against him, he still did remarkably well. So Barnaby's a popular man. And it's easy, you know, when you meet him and you get to know him a bit, it's easy to understand why. It's just that he has a tendency to get himself into strife.
I said earlier this morning, Mark Twain said, it's better to keep your mouth shut and appear stupid than open it and remove all doubt.
That's a great line.
Maybe Barnaby needs that to be printed out, put on his shaving cabinet door or something like that.
Yeah, I think you're right. He certainly needs some counselling. There's no doubt about that. But as I said, a brilliant retail politician. You can't take that off him. It's just that he spoils that with the odd occasion where he just lets his mouth right off.
Richo, the majority of coastal councils are going to push to have shark nets removed entirely from their beaches when they're brought into consultations with the Minns government. Chris Minns announced earlier this week that they're going to remove the shark nets instead of April. They're going to remove them in March. A lot of people are on side for this, but there's also a lot of people that aren't. There's a lot of people that think that the shark nets should be there all the time. And we're talking beaches from Newcastle down to the south coast. I mean, the facts and the figures, I mean, there's only been one death, and that was in Merriweather Beach since 1937, I think, when those nets were first installed. So the nets work.
There's no question that the nets work. And if I was affected, I'd be campaigning to keep them there. There's no doubt about that. They've been a tremendous asset in saving lives. And, you know, it's saving human lives. That's what matters.
Councils getting their nose involved in this. Councils, what did someone say? It's the three R's, and I'm trying to remember what the other one is. What is it? It's rubbish, roads, and I forget what the third one is for local councils, but a lot of people think that councils have too much to do with other things these days that they shouldn't be involved with. And you drive around the Newcastle roads, Richo, I suppose it's the same in your electorate in Sydney, and my God, the condition of the roads at the moment and is just disgusting. Yeah,
it's bloody awful. There's no doubt about that. And it is exactly the same down here, mate. But, you know, I think pretty much the same around the country. I don't think we're any worse than any other state.
Aussie voters are blaming the Albanese government's renewable energy strategy for raising power bills, potentially bringing more swing seats into play at the next election. This is a new poll. It's another day, another poll. But according to a survey, 54%, 54% of all voters agreed with the statement that Labor's rush to increase the amount of wind and solar in the power grid was driving energy bills through the roof. And, I mean, when you've got 54% of people being surveyed of that opinion, it could cause Labor some problems at the polls, Richo.
Yeah, it could. There's no doubt about that. Although, you know, I just think the whole thing's false. I just don't think we've had such a rush on building these things. I don't think they're coming in that quickly at all. In fact, I'd rather them come in quicker. So, you know, it's just one of those things. I think sometimes perception is different to reality.
Yeah, true. But the trouble is, Richard, perception becomes truth.
Yep. That's what people see in front of them. That's what they vote on.
Isn't it? That's so true. Perception becomes truth, or perception becomes reality. Earlier this week, the bikey uncle of AFL champion, Dustin Martin, claims he has been wrongly detained ahead of deportation because he's Indigenous, not Kiwi. This bloke's name is Martin. He was taken into immigration detention after the federal government cancelled his visa on character grounds. The former national president of the Rebels outlaw motorcycle gang is fighting the decision to be sent back to New Zealand. His lawyer said the onus was on the Commonwealth to prove his client was not Aboriginal. Surely, Richo, it should be the other way around, should it not?
I would have thought. But, you know, it's a strange thing when you get tangled up in courts. You're always getting tangled up in something that you don't understand and will never understand.
But this bloke was born in New Zealand.
Yeah, well, I think he should be going back there in a hurry.
And his brother was deported back to New Zealand. So I just don't understand, if it's good enough for the brother, why isn't it good enough for him? I see Tony Burke is now, God, how many portfolios can this man have? He's going to be very, very busy. I mean, look, he's a good politician, but my goodness, they keep saying he was the big winner out of the reshuffle of Anthony Albanese's cabinet. What's your thoughts on that reshuffle, Richo?
Yeah, well, I think it was time for one. So I think you've got to take advantage of the times, and he had an opportunity, and so he's done it. How does it look? Well, it looks okay. I don't think you ever know how good it's going to be until you can actually see it in operation. So I'm withholding judgment, put it that way.
Do you see him as further down the track being certainly party leader material and possibly prime minister material?
I think that he'd certainly be in the running, but I think the problem he's got is you've got males in Victoria, and there's a big Victorian phalanx of members. That's where it's become Labor's heartland. And then, of course, you've got the Treasurer, and Jim Chalmers, and his Queensland contingent, and his appeal right across Australia. So it'll be an interesting contest.
I tell you what, Labor certainly got some people in the wings waiting to take over. The Libs don't. They're starved of talent, aren't they, at the moment?
Yeah, they really are. It's cyclical. I've said this before. You know, you have your good periods and your bad periods. This is a bad period for them. They've got very little talent in the house, and they don't seem to have any idea of how to pick up new talent.
Richo, another survey, another day, another survey. Almost one in four Aussies, 25%. 25% will use their tax return, or any tax return received, their tax return refund this year, to pay off debt, which is different to what it's been in previous times. Around 23% of Australians plan to use their tax refund to pay off debt. The data also shows that 12% will put money towards essential expenses, which is down on what it used to be. So when people got tax refunds in previous years, it seems as though they went out and, you know, bought essential items. Others just went out and rewarded themselves, I suppose. These days, the percentage increase has gone up. They're going to pay off debt. That seems to be the way people are feeling. Got to pay off debt as quick as you possibly can.
Yeah, I think everyone gets frightened of where interest rates will go. And so debt frightens everybody. It certainly frightens me. I'd try to get as low as possible. That's what, you know, I think sensible people do. Because that interest rate, mate, if, you know, we all remember the days of 17, 18%. And that's a killer. And that's when people are going broke everywhere.
Well, there's a story in one of the papers today, Richo. The average Australian home loan these days is apparently close to the average. The average home loan is close to $800,000.
Yeah, it's enormous, isn't it? Yeah. I saw that. I mean, it's just bizarre. Because how do you pay that off if you're an average worker?
And the average first home owner, as in, you know, people buying their first home, $534,000. That's the average loan for someone wanting to, you know, finally get their foot in the door, so to speak.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, mum and dad are helping with those. You can bet on that. That's because it's mummy and daddy bank that gets you through.
When you're looking at those sort of dollars, it's got to be. The Albanese government's ruled out expanding, I saw this and thought, good. They've ruled out expanding Australia's parliament and hiring more politicians after realising it would cost $500 million, Richard. And I don't think the general public would stand for it.
No, they wouldn't. And why would you need it? I don't think that politicians are... I mean, I think they've got plenty to do. I'm not suggesting they're anything but hard working, but that's what they're paid to be. They're not paid to sit around on their bum and do nothing. They're paid to actually get out there and work. So, obviously having been one and having been in the call room and seen what it's like, I know that they work pretty hard, most of them. The trouble is for the public, they see a few who don't. And unfortunately, those few who don't taint all of those who do.
Yeah, we've already talked about it. Perception, mate.
Mm.
Yeah, perception becomes
pretty
truth.
Important.
It is, that's for sure. Rod McGeoch, there's a story today. He's the sports administrator who, as we know, and you would know better than most of us, successfully led Sydney's Olympic bid in 2000. He said Australia must adopt the British system, where a portion of lotto tickets sold goes to fund national sports programs. Of course, as well as arts and charities. He's put forward the British model, Britain's national lottery. It was established in 1994, and ticket sales in the jackpot have raised $75 billion for good causes, which of course includes funding the Olympic athletes. I was aghast when I read today that, you know, podium athletes, they're eligible for a payment of just $37,500, and fringe competitors, who are often unlikely to win a medal, they're just entitled to between $4,000 and $16,000. The lack of federal funding beggars belief. What's your thoughts on this, Richo, in reference to a lottery to fund the Olympics?
Well, I think it's a very good idea. Because you're not going to be able to squeeze much out of government. That's the problem. You know, governments are supposed to solve everything, and they can't. There's just not enough money to go around. So you know you're not going to get what you want out of government. So, you know, if there's a new idea of a way to get money, I'd be taking it.
Well, it seems as though it's worked for Britain. They got themselves 29 gold in the London Olympics. There was 27 in Rio, and there's 22 in Tokyo. So it seems as though it's working. And, you know, we've got some great talent here. We've proven that already in week one of the Paris Olympics.
Yeah, look, well, I think we're having a great week. And our girl swimmers, how good are they?
Oh, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
They're just fantastic. So, yeah, I think we've got a lot to celebrate already, and we'll have more to celebrate. But you only get to have those celebrations if you're putting the money into the training and nutrition, everything else for the athletes. And so it's not cheap. It's a very expensive exercise. But Australians love sport. And if governments weren't there propping up sport in any way they could, I think that the public would turn on them pretty quickly.
I agree with you. Richo, you're on fire. I've got to let you go because I've got to go to the news.
All right, mate. We'll talk next week.
Mate, we will. I'll look forward to it as always. You look after yourself. Have a good week and we'll talk next Saturday morning. Thanks, mate.
Good on you, mate.
See you, Richo. Bye-bye. That's Graham Richardson on our Saturday morning.